Okay, let's open our Bibles today to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 7 through 11. Hebrews 3, verses 7 through 11. Let me go ahead and mention that the message today will actually be in two parts. I will bring the first part today, and Lord willing, the second part next Lord's Day. So that means everybody has to come back to get the second part, okay? So, the title of the message is Ignorant Professors. Ignorant Professors. Notice, if you would please, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Notice, if you would, in Hebrews 3, particularly verse 10, God says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If ignorance is bliss, we should be the happiest people on earth. However, according to our text, ignorance is not bliss, it is death. The Israelites were ignorant of God and his ways, and they died in the wilderness. They did not enter into Canaan. So God said in verse 10, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts and they have not known my ways. Now, Hebrews 3 and verse 10 is actually a quote from Psalm 95 and verse 10, where God says, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart and they have not known my ways. When you get to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, the Bible says this, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. Well, look, if you would, down to verse 17, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So then, we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, the interesting thing is when the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased and they were overthrown in the wilderness, I hope you remember the fact that only two of the original men that came out of Egypt actually got into Canaan, Joshua and Caleb. The rest of them died in the wilderness. So God said, these people had not known his ways. When I read that passage recently, a thought struck me, and that was this. I questioned, and I asked this question, I wonder exactly how many professing Christians really know God. If we know him, we should know his ways, because his ways reveal who he is. And if we really genuinely know him, then we must of necessity know his ways. For his ways are a manifestation of his person and his character. So let me try to ask you to think about it like this. As parents, most of us have loved and raised our children, and now they are grown. And then you have to ask yourself this question as parents. Do your grown children really know you? Do they really know your ways? I want to submit something for your consideration. I honestly, after thinking about this, believe that much conflict that arises in families arises simply because they really and truly do not know each other. We do not understand each other's ways. Now, let me make a statement. Think about this. When ways are dishonored, disrespected, and disobeyed, there is trouble. And it doesn't matter if it's husband and wife or father and children or mother and children or brother and sister. It's true. I have often wondered in considering this, if indeed my children really know me. Do they really know my ways? Sometimes I think they do. Sometimes I think they do not. But I will make this statement that when your children act contrary to that which you have said, taught, and lived, it certainly is a grief of heart to you. So let me ask you, if your children not honoring your ways is a grief of heart to you, how much more is it a grief of heart to God when His children dishonor His ways? John the Apostle said it like this in 3 John in verse 4. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Listen to that. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Did you know what God said about Abraham? He said in Genesis 18 and verse 19, now listen, God said, for I know him, and he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep my way, or they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken. God said, I know him. And I know he's going to command his children and his household, and they're going to keep the way of the Lord. So Abraham knew God, and God knew Abraham, but Abraham knew the ways of God as well. He had learned the ways of God. Now, let me make a statement. In fact, hold Hebrews 3, but turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 55. Let me just show you what God says very pointedly. Isaiah 55, beginning there with verse 8. You have to understand that by nature, none of us know the ways of the Lord. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, he said it like this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So, if by nature none of us really know God's ways, and if by nature we really don't know God's thoughts, that means that after we're converted, we have to learn His thoughts, and we have to learn His ways. You know, God said this to Solomon when Solomon was coming upon the throne in 1 Kings 3 in verse 14. Now listen carefully. He said, and if thou wilt keep my ways, to walk in my statutes and my commandments, as your father David did walk, then he said, I will lengthen thy days. He said, if you will walk in my ways, as your father David did, then I will lengthen your days. Everybody knows, or at least you should know, that Solomon's son Rehoboam took the throne, and he was basically a tyrant. And consequently, there was a division in the kingdom. That is when the 10 northern tribes became Israel, and the 2 southern tribes, or the folks who lived in Judah, actually then became known as the Jews, or the Judahites. But God put Jeroboam on the throne in Israel. All the Israelitish kings were wicked kings, but I want you to listen carefully to what God told Jeroboam before Jeroboam ever became king. In 1 Kings 11 and verse 38, he said this, and it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, then I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. Isn't that amazing? Here God told Jeroboam, look, I'm giving you Israel. All you have to do is walk in my ways and keep my commandments. But of course, Israel did not do that. Neither did Jeroboam. And when you get to Psalm 81 in verse 13, here's what God cries. God says, "Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways." In the Hebrew, it's an optative. It is a wish that is contrary to reality. It's as if God were saying, "I wish they would have listened. I wish they had have walked in my ways, but they didn't." We have to understand something, that God, as our Heavenly Father, desires that His people walk in His ways. So we are His children, and therefore we are to emulate our Heavenly Father. Now, in Ephesians 5 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul wrote this, "Be ye followers of God as dear children." The interesting thing is the Greek word for followers. It actually means to be an imitator or to mimic. In fact, that is the Greek word. It means to mimic. He says, "Be ye mimickers of God. Be ye followers of God. Be ye imitators of God." In other words, you walk the way He walks. You think the way He thinks. That's why in Matthew 5 and verse 48, our Lord said, "Be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, when you consider in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 10, God said, this was a people that always erred in their hearts. They did not know my ways. So God called upon the Israelites in the day of Haggai to do something particularly. He said in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 5, "Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." And then he repeated it in Haggai 1 and verse 7, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Now, if God's ways are higher than our ways, and if God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, which means that our thoughts and our ways are not necessarily the same as God's, then God calls upon us to consider our ways and repent of our sins and turn back to His ways and His thoughts. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 145 in verse 17, "The Lord is righteous in all of His ways and holy in all of His works." Do you remember the passage in Revelation 15 in verse 3? Let me just quote it. "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are all thy ways, thou King of the saints." So you have to understand that God's ways are just and true. Now, I want you to look back in your Bibles to Hebrews 3 and verse 10. As I said earlier, this is going to be the first part of a two-part message. So I want you to note, if you would, what God says in Hebrews 3 and verse 10. God says, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." They have not known my ways. You remember, our Lord, in John 14, said that He goes unto His Father. And Thomas said, "Show us the Father and it sufficeth us." And our Lord said, "Have I been so long with you, Thomas, and yet you have not known me?" In other words, He was saying the truth of John 10 and verse 30, "I and the Father are one. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. And if you had known my Father, you should know me." We need to consider that we are commanded to walk in the ways of the Lord. Now, what I want to do this morning is this. I want to show you a number of passages. I'm going to just take from the book of Deuteronomy. And I want you to try to comprehend and understand the essence of what it means to walk in the ways of the Lord. All of these passages are clear, straight, and plain. I could multiply passages. I could get passages out of any book of the Bible. And yet these passages, I think, are so clear, they should be sufficient. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, and let's begin with Deuteronomy chapter 8 and look at verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 6. I want you to understand the terms that are being used. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 6. God says, "Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him." Now stop and look at that passage very carefully. "Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him." Well, what is it to walk in God's ways, according to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 6? It's to keep his commandments. What is it to walk in his ways? It's to fear him. If you fear him, you obey him. That's what he's saying. "So therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him." So it is impossible to fear the Lord and not obey him. Likewise, it is impossible to walk in his ways and dishonor and disobey him. Because if you're walking in his ways, you're honoring him and obeying him. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 10 at verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. "And now, Israel, what does God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I've commanded thee this day for thy good." Now, I want you to look at this passage again closely. What did he say? "Now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" Number one, to fear the Lord thy God. What does it mean to fear the Lord thy God? It means to walk in all of his ways, and to love him, and to serve him with all your heart and soul. Well, how do you love him and serve him with all your heart and soul? Verse 13, "to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." Now, the point I want to make is very simple. Walking in God's ways not only honors God and glorifies God, and it's a means of serving him, but it's also for our good. Most people try to think and say, "Well, if I obey him, it's not for my good." Oh, yes, it is. It is for your good. Look in Deuteronomy 11 and verse 22. Deuteronomy 11, verse 22. Here's an interesting verse. He said, "If you shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love your Lord, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him." Now, wait a minute. We've already understood fearing the Lord, loving the Lord, serving the Lord. Now he says, "If you shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to cleave unto him." So here's my question. How in the world do you cleave unto the Lord? How about this question? What does it mean, or what does it imply, when it says that we're to cleave unto the Lord? Now, we understand the word cleave means to hold on to or to stick close to. But it means even more than that. Do you remember what God said concerning marriage back in Genesis 2 and verse 24? He said it like this. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. So the word cleave not only means to stick close to or to be close to, it literally means to join together. So what the scripture is teaching us is basically that we are joined with the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're enabled to walk in His ways and keep His commandments. In other words, I cleave unto Him in faith and obedience. Let me go a little further. My faith is revealed. My faith is evidenced and manifested by obedience. When I fail to cleave unto Him, it is spiritual fornication. Now, I want you to hold Deuteronomy, but turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to look at this passage in light of Deuteronomy. Look in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's begin reading there with verse 13. Watch carefully. Remember, our Lord says that we're to cleave unto Him. So, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13, He says, meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So, God did not make our bodies for fornication. He made them for Himself. Verse 14, and God hath raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by His own power. Now, watch verse 15. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. That is, perish the thought. Don't even think about it. Don't even let that enter into your mind. What? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? Are you looking? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. That's the same thing he said back in Genesis. Notice, if you would, verse 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Now, what is he saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 6? That we are one spirit. We have been joined with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ is our head and we are the body. So if I am joined to Jesus Christ, I cannot use my body then in an unlawful manner. I cannot cleave to another. I can't cleave to another God. I can't even cleave to myself. I must cleave unto Him. And how do I cleave? In faith and obedience. Do you remember what our Lord said in John 14 and verse 15? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then when you get to John 14 verse 21, he said it again. He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Wow. So, God is commanding us to walk in His ways. I want you to look in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy 26. And notice, if you would please, verse 17. Deuteronomy 26, verse 17. Here is the passage on tithing. I'm not going to go into the analysis of this passage, but I want you to look, when the people were obeying God and doing what was right and giving their offerings the way He demanded, He said, in fact, let's begin with verse 13. Watch verse 13, because this is what the Israelite had to confess when he came to offer God his offerings. Verse 13, then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite, and to the stranger, and to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Now look at this prayer. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Now look what happened once they made this confession and gave the offerings as God required. Notice, if you would, verse 17 or verse 16. He said, this day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments, and thou shalt therefore keep them and do them with all thine heart, with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and to hearken unto them. Now, look at that verse. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God. What in the world does that mean? The word avouched is a very interesting word. We do not normally use the word avouched. We normally use the word vouch. So, if someone asks me, well, is Roy a decent man? Is he a good carpenter? Is he a good worker and an honest man? And I could say, well, I can vouch for him. What does that mean? It means that, yes, I'm agreeing that he's honest, he's true, he's a hard worker, he's everything that you just asked me. I am vouching for him. So when you hear the word avouched, we're saying that something is real, true, and genuine, but even more so. Listen carefully. The Hebrew word is the word amar. It not only means to speak and to utter, but it also means to say in one's heart and to think and to promise. So look in verse 17 again. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken to his voice. So let me ask you a question. When we do walk in God's ways, when we do keep his commandments, when we do honor and worship and serve him, what are we doing? We are avouching. We are saying in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies, in our actions, that we serve the one true and the living God who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. We're vouching him to be our God. We're saying there is no other God but him. Ah, but look in verse 18. When you are walking in his ways, keeping his commandments, and doing that which he has diligently commanded you, look in verse 18. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. So, it's not that we just avouch God to be our God. When we walk in his ways, God avouches us to be his people. I hope you can see very clearly that walking in God's ways is walking in obedience and walking according to his commandments. Look in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 28, verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. So here's my question. How are we to be a holy people? How are we to demonstrate that we belong to him? And the answer is by walking in his ways. What are his ways? It's keeping his commandments. Those who do not belong to the Lord are not interested in walking in his ways. Those who do not belong to the Lord are not interested in keeping his commandments. those who are not interested in walking in his ways manifest by their sin, their rebellion, their disobedience, that they are not God's people. They're just merely his enemies. They're not his. Well, what about a people who profess to be his and do not walk in his ways? God says they are ignorant professors. They do not know me, nor do they know my ways. And I want to tell you something. Ignorant professors are not only not interested in knowing God's ways, they're not interested in doing God's ways. About 2 weeks ago, week and a half, I was in Douglas, Georgia to get a haircut. So I picked up the little shopper. I was waiting my turn. And here's an ad. I'm not going to give you the ad verbatim. I don't remember it verbatim, but I remember most of it. And here's what the ad said. We're starting a new church. We're putting the fun back in Christianity. Parties every month, singing and dancing. If interesting, call such and such number. Where is preaching? Where is teaching? Where is holiness? Where is obedience? It's all entertainment. And those who are after entertainment are ignorant professors, even if they profess to know God and love it. That's why God said, they do err in their hearts. They have not known my ways. Here's the second truth. You've got to consider first that God commands us to walk in his ways. Secondly, you've got to consider that to depart from the ways of the Lord is wickedness. Do you understand that when someone departs from the ways of the Lord, it is only so that he may turn to his own ways? So essentially, turning to one's own ways is a turning from the Lord. What did God say in Hebrews 3 and verse 10? They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. The reason we err in our hearts is because we don't know God's ways. We're ignorant. I've said this 100 times. A problem is not a problem if you know what to do. It's our ignorance that causes our problems. If you know how to please God, you don't have a problem. But when you are ignorant of his ways and you don't know how to please him, and then you act contrary to him, that's when you bring chastisement upon yourselves. David said in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 22, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." He said the same thing in Psalm 18 verse 21. "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." So in each of these passages, David is saying that when one departs from the ways of the Lord, it is a wicked departure. So I could ask you this question. As parents, would it not be grievous unto you if your children departed from your ways? It would certainly grieve the heart of a godly parent who tried to raise his child in that which is holy and right and godly. And every Christian parent really and truly wants holy, godly, righteous children. And when our children do that which is wicked and wrong, it grieves us. But oftentimes what we do, we find excuses for them rather than admitting that they are sinning and erring. And instead of confronting them. But our Heavenly Father does no such thing. He calls it exactly like it is. I want you to look in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 22. Jeremiah 4, verse 22. Here's a very interesting verse. And look what God says concerning these people. His people. Watch. Jeremiah 4, verse 22. For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Isn't that amazing? God says his people are foolish. He says they have not known me, and then he calls them sottish children. We sometimes will look at a little child that's acting ugly and rebellious, and we'll say he's snotty. But here God calls them sottish. And notice, if you would, he says they don't have any understanding. They're wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Now the word sottish actually means foolish or to play the fool. So what he's saying is this: his children are foolish. They're playing the fool. They are wise in the ways of evil, but to do good, to do right, to follow his ways, they have no knowledge. They may be professors, but they're ignorant professors. Now, I want you to hold Jeremiah chapter 4, and I want you to turn back in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I want you to see when the nation began, what God did for them, and what was said concerning them. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and let's begin reading there with verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and notice if you would please verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me. It's what Moses tells them, that you should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Now, look what he says concerning these commandments and these judgments. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all the things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Now notice, if you would, all of these things that is said in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Here is your wisdom. Here is your understanding. It is my word. It is my law. This is going to be your wisdom among all the nations. And what nation is there like you that has God so near? And when you get to Jeremiah chapter 4, he says, my people are foolish. They have not known me. They're sottish children. And they have none understanding. They're wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. So it started out with all of this wisdom and all of this understanding, and now they're snotty little children. Why? Because they've disobeyed and wandered and strayed from the ways of God. Ignorance and disobedience degenerated a wise and understanding people into a sottish, disobedient, and rebellious people. Look in Jeremiah 9, if you would, at verse 3. Look what is said. Jeremiah 9, verse 3. Here's what Jeremiah describes the people. He said, and they bend their tongues like their bow for their lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. God said they don't know me. They're ignorant professors. They bend their lips for lies like you bend a bow. They're not valiant for truth. And the only thing they're doing is proceeding from evil to evil. And of course, they're bringing upon themselves the chastisement and the judgment of God. In Isaiah 42 and verse 24, the Bible says this, "Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his laws." So why did God judge them? Because they refused to walk in his ways. God constantly cried out against their sin and degradation, yet they wouldn't listen. They would not heed the prophets and the preaching. In 2 Kings 17, verse 13, the Bible says, "Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, Turn you from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets." What did God say? "I've testified against you. I've pleaded with you. I've sent warnings to you. But you won't listen." In Jeremiah 3 and verse 13, he says, "Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And you have not obeyed my voice," said the Lord. God said, just admit it, confess it, repent of it. No. He said in Jeremiah 9, "No man repented of his wickedness, saying, What have I done?" David speaks about those who turn aside to their crooked ways and points out their identity with the workers of iniquity. He said in Psalm 125 and verse 5, "As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity." Wow. You turn aside to your crooked ways, God will lead you forth with the workers of iniquity. Do you understand that walking in our own ways is not simply walking in a crooked path and being foolish, wicked, and rebellious? According to the Apostle Paul, it is also a perverting of the way of the Lord. I want you to look in Acts chapter 13. See what the Apostle Paul said. Acts chapter 13. In this passage, Elymas, the sorcerer, was seeking to turn the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, away from the gospel to the way of Elymas, to his own way. So, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 9, let's read verse 8. "But Elymas the sorcerer," for so is his name by interpretation, "withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" Now, how was Elymas seeking to pervert the right ways of the Lord? By turning the deputy of the country away from the Bible, away from the faith, to his own ways. You do remember Isaiah 53 and verse 6, where Isaiah used this illustration. He said this, "All we like sheep have grown astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, instead of following the ways of God, we turn to our own ways. When we walk in sin and wickedness and rebellion and perversion, we're in essence despising God and his ways. When we walk in our way, we're perverting the way of the Lord and bringing upon us judgment and condemnation. Now, let me make some applications. I've got, I think, a number of things that we may have to consider in light of what God said in Hebrews 3 and verse 10. He said, "This people always err in their heart." Why? "For they have not known my ways." So in light of this message, there are several scriptures that we really need to consider. The first one would be Proverbs 5 and verse 21. Think about this. In Proverbs 5 verse 21, the Bible says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all of his goings." The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he, God, pondereth all of his goings. God is omniscient. God sees all. There is no hiding behind the barn from God. And God sees you and everything about you. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 4 and verse 13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." In other words, we need to learn to live in light of God's omniscience. God sees us. God knows us. He knows everything about us. He knows our moves. He knows our motives. He knows our motivation. He knows everything. And when you turn from God's ways, oh yeah, he is pondering your way. That is for sure. So we need to learn to live in light of God's omniscience. Number two, when we walk in our ways, we are perverse and we're despising God. I preached a message on this text, Proverbs 14, verse 2. "He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him." So actually, when you reject or refuse to walk in God's ways, you're despising God. The third one is this. We need to be aware of the reality that simply because we don't see anything wrong with something, or we don't see anything wrong with our actions or our thoughts or our conduct, that does not make them right. Proverbs 16 and verse 2 says this, "All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." All the ways of man are clean in his own. I've heard so many people over the years say, "But I don't see anything wrong with it." Even though it's contrary to God and contrary to his plain word. "But I don't see anything wrong with it." Whether you see something wrong with it or not is beside the point. God says it's wrong, it's wicked, it's sin. Everybody likes their own ways. They like their own sins. And we have a way of rationalizing what we want in our sins. But we need to understand that the Lord weigheth the spirit. By nature, we may love our ways and despise his. But one thing for sure, he knows whether our ways are right or wrong. And if we're not following his ways, they are wrong. Number four, I want you to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 6 because I want you to see this verse. I want you to look at Jeremiah chapter 6. Remember, if you would, how God called these people in Jeremiah 4 and verse 22, sottish, foolish, acting like fools, living like fools. Let me show you how foolish they were. Look in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." God said, here it is. Plain as day. "Ask for the old ways, which was my way," said God. "Which is the good way. Walk therein. You will find rest. You'll find plenty. You'll find prosperity. You'll find peace. You'll find protection. You'll find all of this if you just obey me." And they said, "We will not walk therein." We bring our destruction upon ourselves. Now, I want you to go back to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 10. I want to pick up here next week, but I want you to see one other thing. Look in Hebrews 3 and verse 10. God says, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." Every one of us have had children that have sinned and done wrong. And you say, "Brother Weaver, not mine." Well, hang on, your time is coming. And when our children are caught in their sin, what a grief it is to parents. What a grief. I remember the very first time I ever caught my twins in a lie. And I was heartbroken. I was devastated. Because I just did not think they would ever lie to me. But they did. If I was heartbroken and devastated over the sin of my children, and I'm a frail, sinful man myself, and if I was so devastated over it, can you imagine the grief this does to our Heavenly Father when we refuse to walk in His ways? What did He say? Watch. "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation." I was displeased. I was heartbroken. Because they have not known my ways. You remember, the Bible says that Isaac was in grief over Esau's wives because he didn't marry godly women. And you know what Rebekah said? "I'm weary of my life because of these daughters of Heth." What was she saying? "I'm grieved to death." You can probably quote Ephesians 4, where the Bible said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is God. But here we read how the heart of God the Father is grieved and vexed when we refuse to walk in His ways. So if you're a child of God, and you profess to love the Lord, you need to learn His ways and walk therein, or else you will be grieving the heart of God. "Wherein I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, for they have not known my ways." Do you know the ways of God? If you do not, you need to discover them and walk in them. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bow to Thee this day. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your truth. And Lord, we do pray that You would help us to walk in Your ways. And help us, Father, to think Your thoughts and live our lives pleasing unto Thee. We've been commanded to walk in Your ways, and to depart from them is sheer wickedness as well as foolishness. Give us grace that we may serve Thee acceptably with reverence and godly fear. In Thy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.